Greetings, everyone. Good to see you. This is a beautiful opportunity we have. So this is Thursday, January 18th, 2024. Dr. Will Tuttle here with our third Thursday World Peace Diet Circle Zoom call. And we are in sunny southern Florida, West Palm Beach at Hippocrates Health Institute. It's called Hippocrates Wellness now. And it's the sun that we're getting is what they call in Florida liquid sunshine. It's a lot of rain, but it's warm. So that's good. And we're happy. We're quite busy with lots of different projects. And today we already went on the radio station. We had to drive over to North Palm Beach to Legends Radio, which is where Brian and Anna Maria, who are the co-directors of Hippocrates Wellness, have a radio show. So we were on a radio show there this afternoon, and then we came back to Hippocrates and we had a class that I taught on the keys to healthy living. And then we had the usual dinner, which is a lot of sprouts. They have a huge sprout bar, so I had lots of alfalfa sprouts and broccoli sprouts and some mushrooms and lots of greens. Lots of greens and sprouts and mushrooms. That's basically it. It's a pretty much a no-cooked food here. So a little, actually, they started to introduce a little bit of cooked food. So sometimes we have some soups, some sweet potatoes steamed. So there's a little bit of cooked food. Depends on your programs. The people that are here for really strict healing, they have cancer or they have diabetes or whatever, they usually eat a stricter diet. We're not here for any illness, so we can kind of eat whatever they have, whatever we want. But it's all raw. I mean, it's all vegan and all organic, and I would say 90% raw. And we feel fantastic. And we've been here now for over, a month. Almost a month. Yeah. So we have another 3 weeks or so. And it's very inspiring to see people coming a lot now from Europe with all kinds of problems and getting a lot better. And a brand new video just was released about Hippocrates, which I'll share the link. Very beautiful and inspiring kind of meditative film, documentary film. I can't really do justice to it by talking about it, but it's really beautiful, actually. And the grounds here are, you see lots of raccoons and iguanas and squirrels as we walk around. And the news, I was going to tell you a little bit of news about the book, Food for Freedom. It's still at the publishers, and she's working on it, the book designer. It's a pretty big job, I guess, and I asked her to make some corrections, which are taking a long time. So it's a 500-page book, and she's just taking, it's just a lot of work, I guess, for her. So I thought it would be ready by December, and it looks like it'll be ready maybe, it'll hopefully be ready in February. So we're up to January 18th now. So it's exciting. I'm still editing it since I have a little more time. I can only change little tiny things at this point, nothing big. But I think it'll be great. It's coming out really well. So I hope you're all doing fantastically well. And I know we all have our challenges these days with finances, with weather, with health, with cultural questions about what's really going on in the world, and wondering about the future, and wondering what's going to happen to our children and our grandchildren, and to the environment, and if there's going to actually be an election in 2020, this year, actually, not next year, but this year. All these different things. And I think the most important thing, personally, is that we continue on our journey of making an effort to embody the vegan ideals of compassion for all living beings and questioning the official narratives and spreading the vegan message of respecting the sovereignty of all beings as best we can. So I'll go ahead and start the meditation. Now, it looks like people are still entering, but that's nice to see everybody joining us. We don't have a special guest on this call, and I'm glad. I love having special guests, but I also love it when it's just us, and we can have our own discussion about whatever's on your mind. So happy to do that. And I guess let's go ahead then and begin our meditation time. We don't have the piano. We did have a concert the other day, though. That was, I'm so glad they do have a grand piano right here in the dining hall. And there's hardly anybody there in the morning. So every morning I play, and Madeline joins me a few times a week, and we play together. And it's really a thrill. Yeah, so, all right, good. I'll go ahead and get started. So feel free, either way, you can have your cameras on or you can turn them off for the meditation. I'll leave mine on. And we'll just start our time of meditation. And let's see here. Yeah, I think we've got everything ready to go for our meditation. And I'm glad here's Lisa, so I'll make you the co-host. Very good. All right, so we're gonna, now Lisa, we just saw Lisa about a couple hours ago after the interview that Madeline and I had on the radio with Brian and Anna Maria Clement. Lisa came over to Hippocrates because we told her we might be late, and we were late because of the traffic, and so she graciously informed everybody that we're on our way. So thank you, Lisa, for that. All right, good. So let's go ahead and gather our thoughts. Actually, forget that. Don't gather your thoughts. Just let them all go. We're going to have our time of meditation here. So let's turn our attention within and give thanks for each other, for this community that we are so blessed to be part of and contribute to and support. And may everyone on our call this evening find their vegan journey opening to new dimensions of awareness and healing, insight and understanding, that we may each one of us be a lighthouse in the sometimes murky twilight zone that our society seems to be moving through. Perhaps it's a birthing of a new, more awakened society based on compassion and kindness for all living beings. And I'm sure in the bigger picture, we are the imaginal cells, as they say, in a butterfly, as a caterpillar becomes a butterfly, the imaginal cells are those first cells that abandon the caterpillar reality and adopt the butterfly reality. And I think it's essential that each one of us take that teaching to heart, and that we learn to not only understand ourselves and nature and animals at a deeper level, but also that we make an effort to unlearn all of the misperceptions that have been foisted upon us and that continue to spew forth in many different ways, that we learn to discriminate between truth and falsehood. The wonderful old image from India is that we may be like swans. The swan is the animal that has the mythical ability to put her beak into milk and extract from the milk only the water and leave all the rest behind. So I think that's a great metaphor. The swan is a vegan at heart and doesn't want milk, so she just extracts only the water from the milk. What a great idea. So we open up now in our time of meditation to the infinite love that is shining in every cell of our being, that's invigorating every cell and system and atom and molecule and all of the beings that live within us, the whole microbiome that makes us healthy, and the whole web of life that we are embedded within. So we just know that this infinite loving intelligence that guides the whole cosmos on the vast scale of being is also guiding every aspect of our lives, and that we are embedded within the wisdom and love that is the source of all life, that there's nothing we can ever do to fall out of this loving embrace with which we are always held, and that it is our greatest joy to extend love to others, and understanding and kindness and respect, that everyone we meet is on a journey of awakening, that all the fruits have their own schedule of ripening, and we can show forth our own example with love and compassion. But we let go of the idea that we need to try to change other people or inflict our version of reality upon them. That each one of us has our beautiful inner light, and that each one of us can sow the seeds of our true nature. And through the infinite web of relations and all the relationships that we find ourselves engaged in throughout the day. So let's take a moment now and just rest in a sense of gratitude for this life and for all the opportunities that we have had in all the days and weeks and months and years that we have been on this planet up to this point. Just looking back over our life for a moment and seeing the amazing synchronicities that have brought teachers into our lives, that have brought love into our lives, that have brought teachings into our lives, how we've always been guided in ways we could never have planned, that we have been inspired by other people, and that we have been inspired by our own courage and willingness to ask questions and to take a different path than the one that is usually taken. So we give thanks especially to the beautiful being that we are, the unique and precious being that has our name for this short time that we're on this earth and has this vehicle that we identify with, knowing that this vehicle is not our true ultimate nature. It is just a vehicle, and we give thanks for this beautiful vehicle and all of its capabilities, its capacities, its ability to speak and move and act and play, celebrate and love and create. And we give thanks for our partnership with this vehicle, knowing that we are on a much larger journey, an epic cosmic journey of awakening, that we are here on this earth during these heroic times where the earth is undergoing tremendous changes, to bring our unique perspective and awareness, and to plant the seeds that we have been entrusted with from before we were born. We understand that everything is happening by the unfoldment of the highest wisdom. May all beings awaken to the truth of their true nature, and may we, in our own way, as we look back on our lives, see how we've been led to this point, and as we look forward into the future, realize that the unfoldment that is coming is beautiful and is for the highest good of all, and that the future that is beckoning is bright and is filled with possibilities for unfolding greater awareness and joy and freedom and creativity and abundance and authenticity and healing for the benefit of all living beings of the past, present, and future. So as we connect with our breathing and breathe out, we exhale, we just let go of any of the stress that has accumulated over the day and abide now just in a feeling of gratitude for this life, for this opportunity, for this mission that we have, knowing that we're always guided to fulfill our destiny, and that we don't need to look to anyone outside of us for authority, that we have the authority within ourselves, and all the guidance that we need is within ourselves, and all the healing power is also within. So we give thanks for the beauty of our life and the beauty that we see around us. We give thanks for the beauty of all the animals. And we take a moment now to especially give thanks for the animals, the beings that we refer to as animals, and know that, as John Muir said, they are our fellow mortals on this earth, fellow passengers on spaceship Earth, that they are with us and that they support us, that they love us, and they're waiting for us to awaken to our true nature, to enter into harmonious relationships with each other, with them, with nature, and with all living beings, all the orders of beings. And so we send our love especially to the animals who are being exploited and oppressed by human institutions. We send our apologies on behalf of humanity and give thanks, knowing that we are part of the awakening of humanity out of the delusion of carnivorism and parasitism and predation and domination, exploitation, and abuse of other beings. We're awakening out of these systems of oppression and violence that pervade the media and the medical establishment and government and educational systems and religions. And we see the future where all the institutions and all of the modalities of our society are based on kindness and justice and compassion and wisdom, and seeing the infinite interconnectedness of all life. So we abide in this awareness and feel the light of understanding now spreading into our heart and from our heart out into all of the veins and arteries in our body, out into all of our organs, into all of our muscles, into all of our tissues, into our brain, and filling our entire body with the light of understanding and loving kindness knowing that the true revolution is a revolution of love and respect, and that the true revolution is an inside job. It's right within our heart. And as we manifest the inner revolution of wisdom and compassion and actually live this in our daily lives, we actually single-handedly create the outer revolution in the outer world. We are the chosen ones, all of us, all living beings. So we give thanks for this light that is shining in every cell of our being now, and we see our relationships with other human beings and with animals and nature all being touched by the light of blessing. We don't have to necessarily speak words. We can make gestures and we can send our thoughts and feelings of kindness and support wherever we are throughout the day. And so as we begin to come to a close of our meditation, we feel our bond, the bond that we have with each other and with everyone who's on the path here on earth of liberating animals from human oppression and liberating all of us from the oppression of ignorance and greed and aggression. So we feel our kinship with the whole Sangha, the community of fellow seekers on the path of kindness and love. And let's take a moment now and just send forth the four viharas, the four immeasurable states of awakened awareness, breathing and radiating love now in every direction. Just exhale together and just send forth the light of love with every exhalation. May all beings be happy and have all the causes of happiness as we breathe and radiate benevolence, kindness, and goodwill in all directions. And now we invoke in our hearts the feeling of compassion, and with every exhalation radiating compassion and empathy in all directions, may all beings be free of suffering and all the causes of suffering. May we live our lives as expressions of the effort to help relieve the sufferings of others through awakening to the highest consciousness. So breathing and radiating compassion with every exhalation. Great. And now with every inhalation, let's invoke within our consciousness the feeling and the awareness of joy. Great joy that is always abiding and is not dependent on outer causes. Joy of being. The joy that needs no reasons. That's always present and liberates us from the delusion that we need something outside of ourselves to be filled with joy. We are joy. We're here to give joy to others. Just through our being, we can be contagious centers of joy and love and compassion. So with every exhalation, radiating the joy of being into the infinite web of relations, the joy of spring blooming and the sun rising, and the love of mothers and fathers for their children, the great joy in each other's joy. And finally, we engender in our hearts the feeling of peace, harmony, and equanimity, and radiate with every exhalation a feeling of peace into the world, into all of our relationships, to all living beings, breathing and radiating peace, knowing that beyond the outer swirl, the appearance of violence on this earth, there's a deeper reality. One life lives through all, is ever present, and we are that life. That life was never born and can never die, can never be harmed, can never be unhealthy. It is a life of eternal awareness, radiating and self-existent. Abiding now in our true nature of loving kindness, compassion, joy, and peace, we close our meditation giving thanks for this precious opportunity that we've had to be together this evening, and knowing that each one of us, as we go forth into our month, into our lives, will shine the light of compassion and kindness into all of our relations, and walk ever more surely on our unique and authentic path in this world. And that whatever obstacles come toward us are transformed into boons and blessings through the power of our awareness and our commitment to the awakening of our consciousness for the benefit of all beings. We give thanks knowing this is so, and so it is. Whew, all right. So, everybody, thank you for joining our meditation, and I'm delighted to be here with my beautiful spouse, Madeline, right next to me. We're in our little room here that we have. You want to say hi?
Yes. Hi.
Hello.
Right here. Here we are. And good to see you all, and know that you're present. And remember that this is your time. If you have a question or a comment or a concern or a celebration or whatever, feel free to raise your hand. You can press *6 if you're on your phone. That'll also, I think, raise your hand. And we can dive into whatever anyone would like to talk about. And have no fear. If you don't have anything, I have plenty of things too. So, all right, good. Gino, it's always good to hear from you. So please unmute yourself, and what would you like to share?
Well, thank you. That was a beautiful meditation. I feel so peaceful. It's just so nice. One thing I wanted to say was I was in Florida for a week in Newport Richey outside of Tampa. And I was there to visit my 93-year-old mother and my sisters. And I thought of you guys down there, but there was just no chance.
It's pretty far away, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to just do a surprise visit or something.
Wow.
So I returned to San Diego yesterday, and as you know, I mentioned the whole thing about the rodeo here, and that we failed to get it through the courts, and they went ahead last weekend for 3 days in a row and had this atrocious rodeo, and thousands of people went, and I only know of one injury. There was a horse that literally ran into a wall and fell over, and I don't know what happened after that, but he's not well, if alive, who knows. So, the good news is that just today, because we've been working with the city council for some time and giving them so many facts and film and footage and everything, and one of the councilmen, his name is Kent Lee, and he put together a proposal to ban rodeos in the future in the city of San Diego.
Wow.
So, yeah, so he, just real quick, he said, or the story goes, that he announced that he will introduce an ordinance banning rodeos in the city of San Diego. The proposal will be introduced to the Land Use and Housing Committee, which Councilman Lee chairs.
Right.
I quote him, entertainment is not a justification for cruelty towards animals. The city of San Diego has a history of caring for animals, including investing in our shelters, vet clinics, providing grants to local animal rescue nonprofits. This ordinance will ensure that no more animals will needlessly suffer under the guise of entertainment in San Diego. Wow. So
yeah,
I get that in there, and I'm positive that eventually that's going to pass. We had the same experience in San Francisco when we banned fur. We had an ally in the city supervisors. So
right.
That's good news I wanted to share. It's going to be good.
Thank you. You know, that's really important. And every time that happens in a city, it just builds the momentum. You know, it creates a precedent and it inspires activists in other areas and people in other areas, even if they're not activists, to say, wait a minute, what are we doing? And I think one of the things that's really important to always emphasize with rodeo is the impact that it has on children. You know, because a lot of times these parents bring their children to rodeos. It's like, let's go, kids. Come on, this is entertainment. And what kind of a message is it giving to children? It's just a terrible message. It's like we're going to enjoy and get our pleasure from seeing these poor animals getting ridden and jerked around with ropes and this really gross domination of them. You know, I mean, it's not as bad, I guess, as bullfights, but it's pretty close. I mean, it's a real domination of them. And the idea, you know, I remember, you know, hearing some of these people that go to the rodeo saying, well, look, I mean, most of these cows, they're all on their way to the slaughterhouse anyway. This just lets them run around a little bit before they're killed or something like that. Like, we're going to eat them anyway. So, you know, the underlying thing is we still got to promote the vegan message. But this is one of those things that can really help people start thinking about their food also, right? I mean, if they're going to not be going to a rodeo and understanding why, then it also helps to raise the awareness about what's on their plate. And I think that's a hidden benefit of this kind of activism. You're not, because, you know, you won't get them to ban meat in San Diego at this point. I mean, that's the ultimate goal, obviously. Or, I mean, the ultimate goal, really, I think, is for people to voluntarily not want to have it anymore. But we should at least stop subsidizing it and promoting it. Because it's really these the subsidies that we're giving to the, you know, and it's just the government is just, our government, which is, you know, our taxpayer money, is going out, is really promoting the abuse of animals. And so thank you so much, Gino, for that report and for your efforts with that. That's awesome news.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank
you. Sorry we didn't see you. You know, I know we're going to be up in Newport Richey, but it's not going to be for another month. We're going to, as we swing up through that.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
That's too bad. Damn it.
Right.
All right. Well, have fun.
But actually, good news also is that we're coming to San Diego. That's on our schedule. So in late March, early April, we'll be in San Diego.
Yeah. I'll be there.
Right toward the end. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Great. Thanks. And Judy, you have your hand up also.
Yeah, hi. Hi, everybody. And I wanted to say something to Gino, but first, the main thing I wanted to ask everyone a favor. To go to our Prayer Circle for Animals Facebook. I've been there recently and there's not a lot of activity, but there are still people posting animals that need prayers. And there's also a wonderful minister who is posting his sermons as often as he gives them. And so it's still active. But we need more people to come and make comments and give prayers. Pray for the specific animals people are asking about. So it would really, I'd really appreciate it if everybody would do that. And this is sponsored by our Circle of Compassion. So,
right.
It would be great to see you all there. But I wanted, to say something to Gino. We were able to ban circuses, in Douglas County. Kansas, and I wondered, this was a while back, and so I know kind of what you went through, but I wondered if they have banned circuses in San Diego with exotic animals.
That's a good question. I can't conclusively say they have, but I have 90% that I think they have.
I was kind of thinking they had two, which would make it easier to ban the rodeos.
Yeah.
So they could, you know, kind of, if that is the case, that would help with the rodeo ban.
Yes.
So good
yes.
for you for doing that, Gina. That's great.
Thank you, Judy. And one more time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One more time. What's the name of the group on Facebook you'd like us to go to?
The Prayer Circle for Animals Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's called Worldwide Prayer Circle for Animals, or just Prayer Circle for Animals. I should look it up.
It's just Prayer Circle for Animals, I think. And there's several, but the one that we have is the Circle of Compassion one. And it says there that it's sponsored by that, on that one.
Yeah, I'm going to it right now. I just want to make sure. Okay, what it is, here it is. Just to make sure we've got it the right, because you know, sometimes Facebook is so huge, it can be somewhat confusing. So it's called Prayer Circle for Animals. And we've got 2,000 members, a public group with a picture of a big turkey, being fed a Thanksgiving meal on top. But it's called, it's called Prayer Circle for Animals. That's it, Prayer Circle for Animals. If you put that in on search, you'll find it, Prayer Circle for Animals. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, good idea. Yeah, we try to say the prayer every day at noon. I mean, we pretty much always do, actually. Yeah. We have the alarm going off and we do it. So, if you can join us at noon wherever you are and say the prayer, compassion encircles the earth for all living beings, for all beings everywhere. That's great. All right. Thanks, Judy. Good to see you. And, stay warm. I mean, you were going to be joining us in Florida, but due to circumstances beyond your control, I guess you're still in Kansas, so.
Yeah, it's 21 right now. It's going to go down, I think, to zero tonight.
Wow.
But it's going to start warming up, you know, I think in 3 days. So.
Right, right.
We'll be okay.
Bless your heart. All right. Yes, Anne, you have your hand up also.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I was messaging with Davi earlier today.
Uh-huh.
And I think she might be here in the meeting, but her...
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
I don't know if she can access the chat or not, but she's having some issues with her voice.
Uh-huh.
And so she asked me to just raise the question of just becoming aware that many farms and food producers that used to exist in Florida no longer do.
No longer exists in Florida?
Longer exists in Florida. And I think she may have or was going to send you some information about it. I'm not sure if she has or if you've had a chance to look. But I guess the concern is really it's evidence that, I mean, she lived here several years ago, and this started when, you know, we started looking at macadamia nuts. Farms, and there's one that was very special called the Russell Family Farm, and apparently they've gone out of business. But I think there are the other farms that no longer are surviving, and just a general concern about interruption to the food chain.
Right. Wow. So macadamia was they were growing those in Florida. That's great.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There still are a few.
Are there? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Our zone of Florida. But anyway, I just wanted to raise that as an issue. Like, as far as what to do about it, I don't know. But it seems to be a trend probably throughout the country. You know, just disruption to the food chain.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's something. Yeah, my mind is kind of going, well, let's see. You know, there's probably more we could explore about that. There's development, of course, happening. I mean, it's kind of strange because there's, if you look, I mean, what does that mean? You know, the loss of farmland. And, you know, you look at what's happening in South America, and they're cutting down, you know, thousands of acres of forests all the time, like on a daily basis, to make it into quote unquote farmland so they can grow soybeans to feed to imprisoned cows and pigs and chickens or graze them. And it's destroying habitat. It's causing species to go into extinction. We don't want to expand that kind of farmland. I mean, less of that, the better, in a way. If we could bring back habitat, bring back forests. I mean, we don't need that much farmland. If people would go vegan, we could feed everybody on a fraction of the land, you know. So it's a very interesting thing. But if people are eating meat, it takes massive amounts of land. I mean, you got to grow huge amounts of corn and soy and other feed grains, and you got to, you know, pollute the water and destroy the soil and all these things. And so I'm not sure what all the different dynamics are. I know, you know, there's people are talking about the fact that Bill Gates is now the number one owner of farmland in the United States, and he's also one of the main promoters of genetically engineered crops and so forth. So there's a big push to use a lot more chemicals in agriculture and to try to destroy the organic movement. And maybe, you know, the loss of organic farmers, I think that's a huge problem. And certainly the loss of people who are growing vegetables and fruits, especially if they're doing it organically. And maybe part of it's the competition from China and other countries. Although the United States has this massive subsidy system in place for farmers, which are these gigantic farms typically that grow wheat and corn and soy and alfalfa and canola and cottonseed and so forth. And the subsidy system is so effective that the United States can easily export huge amounts of grains that are mainly feed grains to Central and South America and to Africa, and force the local farmers out of business. They cannot compete with the U.S. Because of the huge subsidies, billions of dollars in subsidies. And so they end up having to, you know, come across the border, come here to survive. There's, you know, all of these strange governmental policies that are destroying the cultural fabric that have to do with farmland, right? I mean, you know, we want people growing their own food. I mean, that's the best thing. If we can have more networks of small farmers, that would be ideal. And that's what Madeline and I are trying to do. You know, we're farmers now. we sell a little bit of food at the local farmers market, so we're farmers. But we think that you know, farming, growing food is one of the most sacred, noble things the human being can do, to really work in harmony with the earth and protect the earth and so forth. But then there's these vast, terrible, toxic farms for both plant and animal, but it's full of chemicals, and they're devastating to the ecosystems more than anything. So if farms are disappearing, it's kind of like, what kind of farms are disappearing? Are they the good ones or the bad ones? Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny, the word farm, isn't it? It can be used for
exactly
individual businesses versus these massive industries. And I know it's just the small local family, you know, creation of products in Florida that I think Davia's concern was. So I think I'm not talking about the massive farms at all. But I think we can all help by just supporting local farmers markets or local family businesses that raise products that may not be, that, you know, may not have a massive market.
Right. Yeah, that's really true. Yeah, I know. That's a great subject. I just saw there's a little, I don't know if there's a little confusion about the Facebook group. So I'm just putting in right now the link in the chat. So if anybody wants to just go right to that group, there it is. It's in the chat. Angel, you have your hand up, and we can come back to this if anyone wants to, but I know, Angel, you raised your hand, so I'd love to invite you to unmute. How are you doing?
Oh, great. Thank you so much. Well, first and foremost, thank you for your tireless service in forwarding the vegan movement. You're such an inspiration for me and countless others. Thank you so much for what you do, including this forum, which is so valuable. And thank you to all the other participants. Sometimes I'm not here, but I do listen as much as possible to the recordings, and it's always so valuable. And secondly, I want to thank Gino for your advocacy in getting the rodeo situation proposal up and going, you know, contributing to that effort. Thank you so much. And Judy, if I understand correctly, you helped to get circuses banned in Kansas. Is that right?
Yes, Angel. It's been a number of years ago, but yeah,
thank you so much for doing that. I just want to thank and acknowledge you. And just as Will said, whenever one city does it, it creates momentum and precedence for everyone else. So I want to thank all of you for the amazing efforts that you're making. They're just really spectacular, and they make a profound difference. The third thing I want to mention is that recently Will invited me to be part of this team, and I want to extend this invitation to the people on this forum. It's called WeDidIt.health, and it's headed up by Peter Goldstein, and his goal is to get a million people empowered with effective strategies and resources and a thriving community to forward the vegan movement. And I was invited to head up in what they call Passion Pods, the vegan and yoga, veganism and yoga, which are two of my areas of expertise and passion. And so I want to put out an invitation to anyone on this forum who wants to be part of, well, any of these passion pods, but especially if you want to be part of the vegan yoga passion pod. I'm just inviting in people who want to put your good energy and advocacy toward this very noble cause. So if anyone wants more information about that, please contact me, and we'll see how we can collaborate and bring all our superpowers together so we can be more powerful as a team than we could be individually. And the last thing I wanted to mention is, as Tolstoy said, as long as there are slaughterhouses, there will be battlegrounds. And tragically, that's what we're seeing playing out on the world stage right now. Ukraine and Russia in particular, and Israel and Hamas in particular at the moment, but it's the same consciousness of violence and domination that's predominating in all spectrums for all ages that we're trying to get to the root cause of changing to loving kindness and collaboration. So, Will, I would like to hear, I'd be very interested to hear your take on this question, which is, let's see if I can get Will back on the screen here. It says speaker. Are you there, Will?
Oh, I'm right here. Yep.
Oh, there it is. Okay, it just came back on. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Everyone knows that the essence of yoga is ahimsa, nonviolence. We all know that violence begets violence. And my question is very complex, and that is, in the situation in Israel and Hamas, and I would love to hear your point of view on this, the explicit purpose of Hamas is to destroy Israel, the state of Israel. That's their sole aim. And Israel has to protect itself. Now, I stand for ahimsa. I stand for nonviolence. I stand for replacing all war with diplomatic negotiation. However, when you can't negotiate with terrorists, and if you don't dismantle them, they're going to continue to do the atrocious attack of October 7th, what do we do as those dedicated to ahimsa, to veganism? How do we navigate through situations like this effectively?
Yeah, thanks, Angel, and thanks for inviting everybody to the WeDidIt.Health platform. I think that's great. You know, it's still kind of in the beginning stages, but it's growing, and we had last month, I forget her name right now, but the woman, she's a part of WeDidIt.Health. She works with Peter, and we had her with us, and it was great, and so I'll keep everybody posted, and we are looking for people who have an interest in helping to create a platform that just includes all the different aspects of vegan living, like spirituality and health and environment and animal liberation and so forth. So thanks for bringing that up and inviting everyone, and we'll continue talking about that. I think it's a good movement that's starting online. And as far as the situation in Israel, it's like the situation in Ukraine, you know, there, and there's lots of other situations on a planetary scale where there's these conflicts. And, you know, for one thing, I mean, I'm not right there, so everything is somewhat secondhand. You get reports in the news about what's happening in these places, and, you know, I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not really sure who's doing what to whom. It looks to me like there's a terrible loss of life, especially, of course, the Palestinians are getting slaughtered. So I think it's up to close to 25,000 or something like that have been killed. And so you got to wonder, like, what the underlying rationale for this is, or the reason, if that's what's happening. But you know, I'm not sure. I mean, there's so many things that could be going on at the bigger, you know, underlying driving force behind these kinds of conflicts. The same thing with Ukraine. And so my feeling is that we should not promote violence. We should always try to not have violence, not kill people, right? I mean, just, you know, treat each other with kindness and respect. And if there are legitimate grievances, try to see the other side. So try to understand the other person's point of view. That's really like if I'm in an argument with somebody else, it's not going to go anywhere for either one of us if they refuse to see my point of view and I refuse to see their point of view, and I'm just going to be right, you know. And then we just start hitting each other, you know. And it doesn't end until we're both dead, right? I mean, we kill each other. Or one wins and then we get to write the history. Whoever, you know, the victor writes the history, and very often the history is a complete lie. And that's really what's happened. I mean, we have been lied to on a massive scale about everything. And so, this call is not the place to go into all that, I don't think. So I think, the best thing to do is to go vegan, really. I mean, to promote veganism, because if we're going to continue on a massive scale to slaughter and abuse animals, what right do we think that we're going to have any kind of peaceful world for humans? We're going to be having a mirror of our own consciousness no matter what. And that's unavoidable. So, instead of taking sides on these things and fighting with each other about who's right and who's wrong and who's worse and who's better, we should, I think, just roll up our sleeves and promote the vegan message as best we can, and try to have an understanding of what's really going on behind the scenes, and realize that the media is controlled, and it's very difficult to know what's really happening. But I know what's not controlled is when I go into the store and I see the flesh of animals right there in front of me, and that's actually happening. These animals are being killed. I can see it, we can go, and we can see the slaughter and the war right there. And it doesn't take trusting someone else. We can actually, on our own experience, understand this. And we can be activists in a very real, I think the most powerful way possible. Because until we actually transform our society away from the violence on our plates, we're just, like Thoreau said, we're just dealing with the branches and not going to the root. So we should just go to the root. And otherwise we waste so much time, you know, arguing about the branches. And so I think we need to go to the root on this. And that's our abuse of animals. And the more we do that, the more we can actually, I think, understand, our minds will clear and we'll see what's really happening. And understanding is the beginning. And so I just support anyone who's doing their best to, you know, see both sides, see all sides, and reduce their violence to animals. I think that's the most important thing. That's something we can all do right here. And then if you want to do more, then that's up to you. It's not for me to say what other people should do on that. But does that help? Do you have any other follow-up or anybody else? Andy, you have your hand up, so either one, we can continue.
Okay, so I just unmuted, and I guess my video is disabled by the host.
Yeah, it was totally chaotic, so I disabled, yeah.
Oh, that's okay. So I guess I just wanted to comment on that also, on that, what you were just discussing. I have new flyers again that I just completed a few days ago.
Great.
And I'm very excited about it. And on the bottom, and actually I should probably read the bottom, is what I put down is, because I don't think ordinary people typically want to fight. I've been learning a lot from Larkin Rose, and I love what he teaches, is that the governments are evil. You know, they're the ones, the government, and like you said, Will, also the media, they are doing this whole divide and conquer. So I've got on the bottom section, and well, I guess you can't see because you can't see the video, but I put, our government and media are owned by a handful of global billionaire corporations. They want us fighting divide and conquer to distract us while they steal all we own. Left and right, two wings of the same bird, start caring about one another, stop fighting, start talking, and take down these global corporate thieves. And, you know, they've been so successful with this divide and conquer in teaching people to hate, blame, and fear one another in every aspect. I mean, besides the 2020, and she brought up the different wars, and it's interesting. I completely stopped watching mainstream media. And I was born and raised Jewish. At least my family attempted to raise me Jewish. I'm not into any religion at all. But the one thing they did teach me, which I realized is true, was like about the Holocaust, and some people that are taught to hate and blame Jews, they're going to hate and blame me for things that I haven't done. It really got me thinking about the whole, you know, people are just blaming one group of people because they hear this stuff on the news. And they go, oh, my God, all that stuff is happening there. And I said, well, you know, I don't pay attention. Whether Jews are killing people or somebody else are killing people, I'm not doing it to anyone. So I do whatever I can, what's right in front of my face. What can I do here so that we're not fighting, or that I'm discouraging people from fighting right in my own environment, right where I'm at?
Right.
Because this is spreading everywhere. So that's what I found, is I've got to be educating people that are right in front of me and teaching them that people have to be open to learning and hearing everything. Doesn't mean we have to believe everything. But if we don't hear everything and have knowledge of everything, how can we make a decision? And so I'm now also promoting a lot of John Taylor Gatto. I think you know of him, right, Will?
Oh, yeah. One of the people in our World Peace Diet circle, they live in Canada. John and Christine McLarnon actually just sent me like three of his books a few years ago, and they're unbelievably good. I mean, they're really, really good. He was named the best teacher in New York State, I think, at one point. An amazing school teacher in the public education system. And then he just absolutely tells it like it is, and how the system does basically nothing but destroy the intelligence and the spiritual awareness of children. I mean, that's what it's designed to do. And he really knows. He goes into the whole history of education going back hundreds of years and how it was used by the British in India and how it's used by, Rockefeller and the corporate, how they rolled out their agenda for creating an educational system that would train people who would absolutely always obey authority and not ask questions and do their jobs and comply with everything. I mean, his books are absolutely fantastic because he was in the system and he was excelled in the system to such a degree that he saw, I've got to say something here. This is really destructive. and the funny thing is that, he's passed away now, I think. He's no longer with us. But what he said, it's only gotten even worse since then. I mean, it was good. What he was talking about wasn't quite so severe as it is now. And I mean, now it's become a full, I don't know what. It seems like it's a real indoctrination program that even goes beyond that. So, they're really good books. They're very educational in terms of, in a very humorous but also very well-researched way to show how our educational system operates and the history of the whole thing. And it ties right in with the vegan message, too, because veganism is really about questioning official narratives, reclaiming our own intelligence and our ability to be our own authority, not just doing what everybody else is doing and going along with cultural norms and all of that. So to me, his books are really fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, so I finished the first one, Dumbing Us Down, and I'm on the second one, Weapons of Mass Instruction.
Right, that's a good one.
I didn't think he had a third one, but I thought he did a foreword or something on a third book or something.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah, I know I have two of them.
Yeah.
Maybe something else, yeah.
It's like everything teaching us that we, similar to like you teach us how we've been programmed to think of animals, he teaches us how we've been just programmed to think of everything. You know, it's like we've not been allowed to think naturally because they're programming us and they're putting us in these dungeons and, just the whole thing. So I now have him on my flyers as well just to get people to wake up and think because here is this award-winning school teacher. So that's the thing is that I don't get into the – Israel's doing this or Hamas or whomever or the Palestinians, what happening? Because to me, these things are happening everywhere, including right in front of us. Like all the hospitals everywhere in the United States, they were euthanizing people. They were murdering people right in the hospital. So what can we do right where we're at? We need to stop complying. We need to stop supporting the system. And it's just so important for people to be awake to that. And because I've gotten so involved in the human freedom movement, and I feel like I haven't had as much time for animals, at least I wear my uniform every day that shows the dog meat trade and says my food doesn't scream. And I wear this every day when I go to the grocery store. So,
right.
And I've got the signs on my windshield. But anyway, so that's what I look at. And yes, we can treat people kindly too, which I'm sometimes doing. I have to work on that. Thank you so much, Will, for everything.
Yeah, thanks, Annie, for all your efforts. It was great to see how Peggy Hall featured you just recently in one of her columns. It goes out to her. I'm sure she's got hundreds of thousands of people. And she featured you as a prime example of someone who's actually going out there and making a positive difference by going door to door and talking to people and giving them flyers and really, to helping people to build community around the idea that we have to actually be proactive in creating communities that are that we have where we have power over our own lives and we're not just livestock ourselves. That's what I see happening is this the farming of humanity, basically the factory farming of human beings. It's happening more and more and we're being treated like livestock. So if we don't question it, it's happening. And of course, the first thing we got to do is stop treating animals like livestock.
If
we treat cows and pigs and chickens like livestock, then we deserve to be livestock ourselves, really. I mean, we're as you sow, you reap. So that's the number one important thing, but but it's good to help people in all these different ways, I think, to make these connections. So thank you for that. That's good.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Anyone else have something they want to say here? Kenny, you have your hand? Okay, go ahead.
Yes.
You can unmute. Uh-huh.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I unmuted. Okay. Try to be as brief as I can, But first of all, I mentioned that, I've been good friends with Ray Cooper, who I call Super Duper Vegan Burger Ray Cooper. And he sent me two videos, which I sent to you and a lot of people, some people in the group, over 100 people I sent. He produced and was directed by this guy, Jack, down in Marin County, this cartoon, which is, it's pretty violent. It's sort of funny. I've never seen a cartoon like that before. It's definitely, pro-vegan, but it has a lot of violence in it. First of all, have you seen that video?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I just got it. I didn't have time to watch it yet, but I will have a look.
It's mind-blowing. I mean, I've seen lots of cartoons, but I mean, it's a powerful tool that might, because a lot of people are used to cartoons. So that's number one. I strongly recommend. I forget the name of it, but if you get to watch it and send it, share it with others, because they're
okay.
They're different tools. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
And also, there's another video that Ray Cooper just produced about the rodeos.
Rodeos. Right.
I watched that too. It's pretty good. And the other thing, if I have a couple minutes, if it's okay, I would like to talk a little bit about. Just mention some things that are not talked about in relation to Israel, a place that I lived for 9 months, 50 years ago. I lived there in Israel. But can I talk about that or not now for a few minutes?
Well, the problem is we only have 25 minutes, and I still wanted to talk about several things here before.
Can you give me 1 minute? Can I say 1 minute on the subject? 1 minute.
Okay, 1 minute.
No, this is something that I feel so much. Like, I do believe when I see a slaughterhouse, I've given out thousands of pamphlets. That's a horror story. But having also come from a Jewish family and known people who had survived the Nazi Holocaust, it's important. It's not talked about. It makes me even really angry that all the Arab countries, all the Arab Muslim countries were on the side of Adolf Hitler. And they were all anti-Semitic and they're run by dictatorships and they just want to kill Israel, which it's not a perfect country, but it is a democracy and you have freedom of speech, and they don't want to have war with any of the people around them, but they have been being attacked ever since they became a country, and they're very aligned with fascist Nazis. And I hate to say that, Israel is fighting this Hamas who don't care about killing innocent people. They're shooting rockets from hospitals. And, I saw sent out a video of the son of Hamas, who escaped a few years ago, and he said, my father's totally evil. So, I mean, I just want to put that out, because I've experienced anti-Semitism, and it's sexism, speciesism, racism, but it's really been hard for Jewish people in particular because of, having lived with the memory of Nazi, 6 million Jewish people who died under Hitler. So, okay, and that's it.
Thanks, Kenny. All right, so... has any of you heard of this new book, The Indoctrinated Brain? Are you familiar with that book? Because I think it's really, I'm reading it right now in my spare time, which I don't have any, but somehow, because I think it's an important book. I'll write it here. Yeah, well, somebody, anyway, it's very simple, The Indoctrinated Brain. And what's so interesting about this book, I think, is it's written by a German MD, who's also a PhD, I think he has both, but he's definitely an MD, and he's also studied extensively the neurobiology of the human brain, and he really writes, I think, very well about the way that the society has been using, he talks really, I think, about those who are controlling the society, our society, and I think it's important to understand that perspective, because he seems, he just began to realize that the way things have been happening in the last 4, 5, 6 years, that there's been a definite concerted effort, and technologies are being used. And this is the main thing I want to emphasize, that technologies are being used with the understanding of how the brain works. For example, we have, he talks about this, the hippocampus, which is the memory center of our brain. And what the point he makes essentially is that the hippocampus is the short-term memory that holds memories basically for about one day. And if that goes out, and there are rare cases when it does, a person is basically nobody. They don't know who they are, and they're completely lost in the world. It's like the most devastating thing that could ever happen. He talks about there was a brain surgeon that did an operation, and he removed somebody's hippocampus, and that was it. The person could not, didn't know, they were no, literally nobody. They could, if you don't have a memory, you don't know who anybody is, what you are, where you are, what you're doing. It's like you become completely, utterly useless, and have to just be taken care of as almost like as a vegetable, I guess you could say. And so it's the the point is that this hippocampus, when we sleep at night, all of those memories are transferred. That's why sleep is so essential, because sleep, during the sleep state, the memories of the day are transferred into the frontal lobe and into the brain itself for long-term storage. And so then, and so every day we're renewing our memories. And what he said is that the hippocampus can only process a certain amount every day. And so if it gets overloaded or it gets too full, it starts getting fatigued, and we have a hard time remembering things. And so what he says is that the way that the globalist powers, basically the powers that have been behind a lot of the things that have been happening over the last few years, are overloading our brains with input on purpose, because they know that there's the hippocampus, which is our what he calls the autobiographical memory. It's like who we are as a human being. Each one of us has our own unique life, right? We have our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, our memories of all of our experiences. We're a unique being, and we have our the hippocampus kind of is where the access to all that comes into our daily life. But if it gets overloaded, we start to lose our autobiographical memory, and when that happens, we gradually just become like the people around us, and we don't question things anymore. We start to identify with the group around us. We just naturally start to identify with the group and identify less as an individual and more as a member of a hive. He's writing this book in sort of like two levels at once. Like, one is going deeply into the actual neurobiology of the brain and how it functions, and how trauma, and he explains this, there's two types of trauma, but how trauma actually really harms the neurogenesis of the hippocampus, like the ability to create new memories. And so PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, harms the hippocampus. So we're always remembering this terrible thing that happened, and we kind of go over and over and over and over and over. And it's very painful to live with that kind of a wound. But he says there's also pre-traumatic stress disorder, and that's what's been being used, like with COVID and other things, is to get people to be afraid of something, because he said the brain and the body don't know the difference between something that happened or something that we're imagining is going to happen. So if the media, for example, is being used to scare people and say, this is bad thing is going to happen, people get pre-traumatic stress disorder. They're worrying, and they're anxious, chronically anxious about something, and that really just completely shreds the ability of the hippocampus to keep the flow of autobiographical memory going, and people lose their individuality, essentially, at a very fundamental level with pre-traumatic stress. Like, if you just keep blasting out fear messages, divisive messages, war messages, and especially like medical emergency messages and so forth over and over again for long periods of time, then more and more pre-traumatic stress goes into the population, and people's ability, their actual, at the brain level, to hold together their unique individuality and make their own judgments dissipates. They lose that. And they begin to just do whatever the authorities say. They don't have any, they lose the capacity not to do that. And so he's saying that he feels that this helps explain not only what happened, I mean, why so many people just went along, but also the way the tactics were rolled out. And he shows how DARPA and many of the, you know, the military agencies that have been studying this, the CIA and the Pentagon, have been studying this for decades. I mean, they know exactly what they're doing, and they've been using these techniques at Guantanamo on prisoners and other places. They've been trying them out, and they found out how they really work. And so it's just a matter of doing it to a small group of people and then to a larger group of people, but you use the same modality in order to break the spirit, basically, of the people. And so I think it's really important to have this understanding so that we can protect our space, our intelligence, and make sure that we take care of each other. You know, people have, I talked about this in the interview, you know, people say, how is it possible that you've never been to a doctor, or gone to a drugstore in 50 years? And I say, well, there's several reasons, but probably the most important is I haven't had a television in 50 years. You know, and I think it's really important to understand that my father called it the boob tube, you know, but the television is actually causing a lot of people to be harmed on that level, that they just take it in as the voice of authority, and it's very difficult to go against it because we're taught in school and our educational system that we have to please the authorities to get good grades, and so we at a very deep level we want to please the authorities and do what they say and get their approval. And so to me, it's really essential that we begin to wean ourselves off of television and radio and mainstream media in general and start to be proactive. Again, I love that word, proactive. Like, find your own sources of information that you learn through your intuition and your inner wisdom are more accurate. And that's a challenge. You know, we got to use our intuition to develop our discernment.
He also say, I haven't read the book, but I did watch an interview on Del Bigtree, and doesn't he also say that there's something in the shots that work toward that end to prevent the hippocampus?
Wow, that's interesting. You know, I am only about halfway through the book, so there's a lot more in the book I haven't read, but that he could be getting to that, because I'm still in the first half.
He said that in the interview, so maybe it's later on the book. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's a whole other domain, because I think we're understanding that there were secret ingredients unfortunately, in the injections, because it was an emergency authorized use, the inserts on these shots were blank. The inserts were blank. They did nothing on them. There's like nothing. They didn't have to say a dang thing about what's in them. No one knows. So, there's been all kinds of reports that there's graphene oxide, and we know there's, you know, who knows what is in these shots. So, but anyway, the genetic material also, but that could be, you know, I haven't got that far. So, but thanks for adding that in. But I think just in general, the point is that we are, again, called to be proactive, to do our research and be very careful about the official narratives in our society that are pushing to turn us into livestock the way we turn animals into livestock. And like Andy said, you know, the divide and conquer, and they're the bad and we're the good, or what, you know, all these kinds of things. That's like throwing fuel on the fire of delusion in many ways, because the more we have that kind of mentality, the more we fall into the victimhood mentality. We're victims and they're the aggressors. You know, we're all, we have to actually develop wisdom and understanding, I think, in these situations. So anyway, so I recommend the book. You know, I mean, I've read the first half, and I've already found quite a bit of helpful information. And you know, I know there's an awful lot to read and take in nowadays. So I don't normally recommend books, but this one seems to be kind of especially good. Okay, Maureen, you have your hand up. You have only a couple more minutes. I still want to go over the resources, but yeah, go ahead. You need to unmute. Okay, good.
I just wanted to say that the interview that he found is much better.
Can you talk a little louder? It's really hard to hear you.
Okay.
That's better. That's better.
Can you hear me now? No?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'm going to try. There's a problem with my speaker. I'm sorry. But go to the Del Bigtree interview. The book is being reprinted right now. There was such a demand for it. You can get an ebook copy, but the hard copy is difficult to get at the moment. But what I wanted to say for you, Dr. Tuttle, is that actually I took the advice, because he explains in the Bigtree, the Del Bigtree interview, that you want to be careful before you go to bed to not have negative news, because that actually plays into the hippocampus. He explains it really well in the interview, and I was actually in this bad habit of, like, catching up on news, seeing what was going on in the world before I went to bed, and I realized I was doing exactly the exact recipe that he explained to get the indoctrinated brain and to have all of these issues. So I turned to your resources, Dr. Tuttle, and I started to even just to go back over some of the meditations, and listen to some of those programs. And I started just thinking about some really positive things before I go to sleep and everything. So I've been practicing that, because I realized that as I was trying to seek and to inform and to find out what was going on in the world, I had fallen into that trap. So I just wanted to share that with everyone. It was a really important message, and we can fall into these traps and not know it. And so that's why that interview was so useful. And I just wanted to thank Dr. Tuttle then for the resources that he put out. I know that you've got also some other meditations that I'm going to go and get. And I'm going to use those now specifically for my bedtime routine, so that I can avoid falling into these negative messages at that time. So that's what I wanted to share.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. And that's a really important point, and I'm grateful to you for sharing it, and grateful to my wonderful wife, Madeline, who really insists that I close the computer now. It's 9:30, and now we do some reading and some meditating, and we just go to a whole nother thing. And I think, yeah, there's a lot of wisdom in that. And yes, we do have two CDs. They're online. Also, you can just download them. The Four Viharas, which is just love, compassion, joy, and peace. And then the World Peace Meditations, which is 8 different meditations that are really positive. And a lot of people have told us they're very helpful too. I think, you know, that's great advice in the sense that we are being bombarded really with a lot of negativity, even those of us who are not on a spiritual path, but we just to be aware of what's happening in the world, a lot of it's really pretty dark. And so it's important to balance that with the spiritual teachings of the oneness of all life. And I do, so thank you for that, Maureen. I do want to just say quickly, in the short amount of time we have left, if you have a chance, please look at the resources for January 2024, which I just put up a few days ago. As good old Ronald Reagan said, there is no limit to the amount of good you can do if you don't care who gets the credit. I love that. We usually want to get the credit, and so we limit how much good we can do. But that's a beautiful thing. And don't forget to check out our video that we did with Claire Mann and our Mighty May, both of whom have joined us, actually, on our World Peace Diet Circle, the Sound of Freedom and the Roots of Violence, which really talks about how human slavery is really, in many ways, a product of animal slavery and human trafficking of children and women and men also, actually, is really a reflection in a, in an absolutely predictable outcome of the massive enslavement and violence towards animals. We also have a wonderful, I thought it went really great, radio interview with our good friend Marlene Nero, who's also a World Peace Talk facilitator, two parts of the whole hour. And we have another piano and flute music video up. And yeah, and Andy's great article by Peggy Hall. So that's on in the resources. There's quite a few. A great article on compassion for animals by Paul Tarchici, whose brother Thomas, his name is, he's with Thich Nhat Hanh, and he lives at Plum Village in France. He's a monk there, with, but he also is an author in my book, Buddhism and Veganism. So it's really good, I think, to get some of his insights. There's also some good things by Wayne Shung, who's now out of jail for rescuing a chicken, although there's other people that are in jail, or not really in jail, but they're going to be going on trial for rescuing ducks and things. It's good to stay abreast of all of that. South Korea is in the news lately for banning cetacean capturing and displaying, which I think is fantastic. And they also have now finally banned dog meat, which is great, because I, you know, lived in South Korea, and I know that's a huge step forward. And another important book, actually called Sickening Profits, and this is a really important book because it goes into the global food system's use of poisons and chemicals and to poison humanity, really, through the food system, and a very well-researched book. So it's, these are important things. There's a lot. There's really so much. I mean, it's really amazing. And a great article by Britt Lind, a good friend. She's a wonderful writer and vegan activist on the transgendering of minors. You know, on the pharmaceutical industry, how they're exploiting animals through vivisection and exploiting children through transgenderism. I mean, it's a really important connections that she makes there. And and then, yeah, this video, The Fall of Minneapolis, was very good. What really happened, actually, with George Floyd and that whole thing, very interesting to see. Another article on transgenderism by Paul, Brother Promise of the, of Thich Nhat Hanh. He's very, very, well acquainted with this, and it's a big, deep dive, very well done. And anyway, so you can look through most of these. There's some really good ones. How to detox from the COVID vaccines. That's good. There's a lot of really good information there. And yeah, and how the European Union is vowed to permanently shut down Twitter, X, if Elon Musk doesn't ban the alternative media. I mean, there's a real effort to censor us again now, because, as you heard, disease X, the dreaded disease, is, as Tedros said, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. So they're threatening another great pandemic they're going to inflict on the world, and to try to enslave humanity. So just be ready. It's on the way. And a great, and Dr. Dennis Rancourt from Canada is terrific. I mean, this guy, he's a real scientist. And so he has a great talk here. Also, Sasha Latipova, I guess you say her name, has an excellent article on the Internet of Things and the Internet of Bodies, which they're trying to roll out. And what she says, which I think is very optimistic, is that they'll never do it. They can't do it. And we're far too complex for that to ever happen. But anyway, it's an very interesting, good things to be aware of and to understand. And quite a bit more here. I can't go through all of it. There's just so much. The Florida Surgeon General has called for the complete halt of COVID injections, which I think is long overdue. But good for him for doing that. No more mRNA shots in Florida. And yeah, so you can just go through, you can look at all these different things. There's really a lot. And I'll just stop there, because it's time for us to wrap it up here. It's actually 8:30, and Madeline is doing a wonderful cleanse, and she's going to be doing that, I guess, right now. Do you need any help, sweetheart?
No, I think I
can. You get through? Yeah, it's She's doing a liver cleanse, and it's great. I think it's a really good company called Global Health. She's on the fifth and final day, 4 days of cleansing the with a huge amounts of turmeric, and then the final day, it's olive oil and juice, and it just takes it. We'll see what happens, but it's always good, I think, if you feel like you. Your health could be better. She's very healthy, but she just feels like she needs to cleanse her liver. So we'll see how this goes. Apparently you can see all these things coming out in the stool the following morning. And I guess I'll give you a report next time. Whatever we've got. Oh, we have a hand up. I don't know if you have time, but it's actually
yes,
past time.
Very quick.
Yeah.
Just want to know if you will please send us out a notice when we can pre-order your book.
Oh.
Because books that... getting it rolling, getting the good energy in is important. So please let us know. I was waiting because I wanted to get it for us so Fred would have it for Christmas. But
I know. I thought it would be out for Christmas, and I keep getting disappointed. Now I don't know. I'm afraid to say anything because it keeps getting delayed. But as soon as I'm expecting any day that I'll get the final copy, and then we'll know. Well, then we'll have an actual... price,
yes.
We'll know how much it costs. I mean,
oh,
I don't even
okay.
know what it's going to cost yet. And, but then I'll put
okay.
up a website and you can pre-order. So it should happen
yeah.
hopefully within the next
Happy
2 weeks.
To do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks,
sure.
Julie. Thanks.
Sure.
All right, everyone. So let's unmute and say our closing prayer. We look forward to seeing you all the first Thursday of February and then the third Thursday of February, of course, coming up. And we send our love. So we all know the prayer, let's unmute and say it together. Here we go.
Compassion
encircles the earth,
all
beings
everywhere.
Great. Again? Compassion encircles
the earth,
all
beings
everywhere.
Everywhere.
Getting better. One more time with feeling. Compassion. Absolutely. That's the healing truth. Thank you all again for joining us. Much love.
Bye.
Congratulations to everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Thanks, Julie,
bye-bye.
For your screen play and everybody. Thank you.
Of course.
I think I have something nice for you.